do we learn the Bible? What is the purpose of studying the Bible? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Study to show thyself approved unto the Lord, a workman. Yes. Yes. And so it is that we study to be approved of God. We do not study just to build our knowledge base, though studying will do that. We do not study to impress others, though others may be impressed with the knowledge that we've gained. But we study to be approved unto God. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." They were not all written to us. Many of the things in the Scriptures were written to somebody else. The Old Testament's an obvious illustration of that, written to the nation Israel, written to the people of the Jews. But Paul makes it very clear for us in Romans that they were written, nevertheless, for our learning. There's something we can learn from it. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. When we study the Bible, it improves our relationship with God. And that we are instructed to read and to study the Bible is clear, and it's often stated in the Bible that we are to study the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures, but it also talks about studying the Scriptures. And I understand you cannot study the Bible without reading it, but you can read the Bible without studying it. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 19 says, "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life." This is referring to God's preliminary instructions regarding the people when they would want a king. And one of the responsibilities of the king shall be that he shall read the Scriptures all the days of his life, the law that God was giving to them. And why is it that God said the king should indeed read and know the Scriptures? He tells us in verse 19, "that he may learn to fear the Lord his God." The more we know the Bible, the more we will fear God. Fear God in the sense of reverencing Him, and fear God in the sense of His awesomeness, that if we don't live right, we will give an accounting for it. That verse goes on to say, "to keep all the words of this law and these statutes." Keep all the words of this law and these statutes. It's not a pick and choose book. We're expected to keep it all. Now, it's not all been written to us, but it is for our learning. These statutes, to do them, he says. We're expected to do what we learn. It's not a matter of just sitting here, hearing it, and, "Oh, that's nice. I feel good. I went to church today, and now I go home and continue to live the way I want to live." No, that's not what the Bible teaches. If that's your practice, you're out of step with the Bible. You know, "I don't agree with you." It doesn't matter whether you agree with me. It's what the Bible says. I am just relaying. I mean, you can look it up yourself. Deuteronomy 17, 19. We are expected to do them. You say, "Well, that was to the king. I'm not a king." You already told me it's to certain people, but it's for our learning. And there are other scriptures that are to us. I'm just trying to lay a foundation here.
Yes, sir.
Why do we learn the Bible? We learn it to affect our living. It is expected to affect our living. Where do we live? You say, man, he's really in trouble. He forgot where he lives. In your home. How do you interact with each other as family members? In your home. You're expected to learn to live. Oh, verse comes to mind, Ephesians 4 and verse 30 to 32. It says, be ye kind, tenderhearted, loving one another. I know in your home, it's yourself. There's a sense in which you can leave your hair down. Well, some of us can. And you can leave your hair down. But that doesn't mean we can take advantage of each other. We are still expected to live the Bible and be kind. Now, you come into my home, you're a guest, and my manner of interacting with you will be different than with my wife. But that doesn't allow me to be unkind to my wife. If you don't believe me, besides reading the Bible, ask her. And so, we're to live what we learn. One day a young Korean Christian came to a mission station to see the pastor that he had been saved under. It was through this pastor's ministry that he had come to know Christ as Savior. And after the customary greetings that they have within their culture, the missionary said, why have you come? And he said, I have been memorizing some verses in the Bible, and I wanted to quote them to you. Now, he had walked for hours. The story does not tell me how many hours, but he walked for hours to what we might think of as just say the verses. Well, obviously, this was not a just to this Korean Christian. He had spent the time to learn them, and then he walked for hours to be able to say them. What, for the pastor's approval? No, he wanted somebody to hear him that knew them and would be able to verify that he had learned them. And after he had said the entire Sermon on the Mount, the entire Sermon on the Mount, the pastor commended him for the learning. And he then cautioned. But now remember, we don't just learn them to know them. We learn them so it affects our living. And the Korean Christian said, oh, that is no problem. That's how I learned them. I tried to just memorize them, but I couldn't keep them. But I would read a verse, understand what it meant, and then I would go practice it on a neighbor or somebody I knew. And when I practiced it on somebody I knew, then I could remember it. Now, he got the point. We learn to affect our living. And indeed, it affected this man's living. What has happened? Where has this idea come from? The idea that a person can know a lot of Bible, take in a lot of Bible knowledge, but not live by that truth. Where has that come from? It has not come from the scriptures. It has not come from the history of solid Bible-based churches. Evangelist Leon Foote is a personal friend. Known him for many years. He told about, as he travels our country, seeing so many churches that their sign out front states a Bible-believing church. And of course, that's always good to see. But as he would get into so many churches that had Bible-believing on the sign outside. He came to the conclusion that what are needed are some signs that say a Bible living church. Now, obviously, if you're living it, you're believing it. But you can have the knowledge of it and not live it. And what do our neighbors call us when that's the case? Hypocrites. That's right. That's right in the sense of the correct answer, and it's right in the sense of what a person is who gains the knowledge but does not live it daily with his neighbor. Fussing over, I don't know what, boundary line. Well, you know, yeah, I mean, law is law. But we don't have to fuss over it with them. We need to still demonstrate Christ. There are proper means to take care of such a matter as that. But then what about, you know, just the fact that your dog's always over in my yard? That could be a mess. I mean, that could be a problem. Okay, we need to deal with those things. We live in an everyday world. But how we deal with them, how we relate. I remember one time we took our one daughter, I have four children, took the one daughter to the dentist. She had a toothache, and the dentist examined her and fixed that particular tooth. And then he said, you know, I think she needs attention, and named off a few other things. And you know, how do you say as a father, well, look, I don't care about those other things. Just fix the problem we brought her in for. And in the course of taking her in, we began to discuss, and he found out that I was the pastor, okay, out on the road outside of town. And so I said, okay, go ahead and do the work. Now, I wasn't really all that eager. We had a dentist we go to. But neither did I want to handle it in a way that would be a problem to him with the pastor in town. Now, she benefited from the work. It wasn't like I was paying for something that wasn't needed. I just didn't think it was necessarily needed at that point, okay? But my testimony was worth more than the cost of the dental work. And when you begin to hear a Christian say, well, it's the principle of the thing. You just follow that thing through, because you'll often find out that something's amiss there. And so Evangelist Foote was very correct when he says we need Bible living churches. How can people who know what the Bible teaches do different than what the Bible teaches? And then have the audacity to pray for God's help? The Bible speaks in a place or two about God laughing. I'm afraid of the reaction when a believer blatantly lives different than what they have learned and then comes to God to pray for help. And cannot understand why dear God would not answer their prayers. They know, but they don't want to admit it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 is a verse that I think is important for us to remember when it comes to the matter of living what we learn. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, as Paul writes this first letter to the believers at Corinth, in chapter 10 and verse 13, he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. We are supposed to be sheep, but too many times as Christians we live like goats. because we're butting everything. Okay? Butting everything. Well, I know the Bible says this, but. Well, I know what I should do, but. And this Bible verse tells us we can do what's right. God will make a way for us to do what's right. And that's where faith comes in. Well, I don't see how it could work. I don't see how it would, a problem wouldn't happen. We don't have to see it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. We trust God and do what's right and leave the outcome to Him. And even if the outcome doesn't seem like we thought it would, you can still trust God to take care of you. Do right. In the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. The familiar verse is oft quoted. Romans 12 verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What God asks of us is reasonable. If we think it's unreasonable, it's because of how far out of step we are with God. If we think it's unreasonable, that in itself should be a wake-up call to us. Because an eternal God said living for Him holy is a reasonable service. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Don't allow this world, this society, to squeeze you into its mold. Now, Jell-O. Okay? It just wiggle jiggles everywhere, right? If you make some Jell-O and you put it on a plate, okay, you sit it down and it's shaking as you set it down and so on. But you put it in a mold. All right? Whether individual servings or one big mold, okay? You put it in a mold. Now it takes a form. It takes a shape. The world wants to squeeze you into its mold. The world wants you to look like and act like and sound like it. But God's word tells us we are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be, what's the next word? Transformed. So here we are one way, we get saved, we still have that old nature. And God says by His Spirit and His grace, He will transform us. Instead of being a blob of Jell-O on a plate, we can become formed the way He wants us to. Transformed. Change from one thing to another thing. I was 15 and a half when I got saved. Lived for the Lord for, I don't know, a year, year and a half. Backslid. Bad. When I came back to the Lord, rededicated my life, began to serve Him and live for Him, I had a bad habit of swearing. Foul mouth, just swearing. I mean, I couldn't repeat, shouldn't repeat the words that I used, but it was a problem. And any effort I put forth ended in failure. Now at this time, I was driving a delivery truck. My family owns a snack food business, potato chips, pretzels, and popcorn and everything, okay? And I was driving a delivery truck, step van, okay? And if a box didn't fit right, it was a blankety blank box. If the customer gave me a hard time about what I put on the shelf, it was a blankety blank customer. I remember coming down, you can't picture it, but I do, coming down 7th Street, coming up to the traffic light. I stopped at the traffic light, summertime, the doors were open. And it dawned on me, I haven't been swearing. It dawned on me, I haven't been cussing. Wow. How did that happen? Then I began to realize, well, I was going to church more. I was reading my Bible. I was witnessing. I was, listen, here's the important, really important part. I was wanting to be like God wanted. That's why I was going to church more. That's why I was reading my Bible. That's why I was witnessing. Because I wanted to be what God wanted. I mean, I really wanted to be what God wanted me to be. And God's grace makes a difference. He transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what happens when we live by Bible truth. That's what happens when we want to be what God wants us to be. He will begin to renew our mind. We need to think different. You know, often we'll say, well, you didn't think. You know, and I'll say, that's the problem. I didn't think. But the problem is the way we think. I mean, the common approach of society, we must think different. The common approach of many of our families. And thankfully, I don't know your families. Okay? But I know other families. And the way our families think, even that may not be acceptable. Now, do you notice I gave credit when they're doing right? I said it may not be. Because so often I hear people say, oh, well, that's just the way I grew up. You know, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Ah, that's an excuse.
That's right.
We're to be renewed and think different. Let's quit blaming our parents or our brothers, our sisters, or whoever. We, you, are responsible for your life and no one else. Have others had an influence in you? No doubt. Can God's influence not be greater? Of course God's influence can be greater. Will it be better? How can you answer anything but yes? God's influence would be better than any other influence. But we must want it. And when we want it, God will work it. That you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how do I know what God wants in this case? How do I know what God would like me to do? And it's so confusing. No, when you want to live for God, when you do live for God, then God will help you to prove, to know what is acceptable. He'll help you to know. We don't know because too many times we're just trying to put on a surface, a facade of being a Christian. What we need is the real thing. The real thing. And so that you may be able to prove. Let's look at a couple verses that talk about renewing. Because verse 2 talks about there be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to go back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Now Psalm 51 deals with a not good time in David's life. As a matter of fact, it was a bad time. this psalm is a psalm that David wrote when Nathan the prophet confronted him about his sin with Bathsheba. And so this was an exceptionally low time in the life of David. And so David in Psalm 51 and verse 7 says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Here's verse 10, it's where we're going. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Paul says to the Romans, we need to be renewed in our mind. We need a renewed spirit. I don't know what it is you may be struggling with. I don't know what it is that has an influence in your life. But if what you need is to have a clean heart, David prayed, create in me a clean heart, and God did it. And David was a wicked sinner. He is called the apple of God's eye, but he still did mighty wrong. But he also admitted it. He didn't try to excuse it, to rationalize it, to say everybody's doing it. It doesn't matter if everybody else is doing it. All that matters is you as a child of God are doing it and need to stop doing it. And in order to have that happen, you must have a renewed mind. And you get a renewed mind when you ask God to create a renewed spirit in you. A right spirit. And then Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Living the Christian life takes effort. It's not easy. It's on the immediate, it seems easier to forget God and just do what you feel like doing. But there are consequences to that that last, in some cases, a lifetime. And so, but what I want to say is it's not simple. It's not a breeze. It's not easy, but God will enable you. There hath no temptation taken you. No test can come along. But what others have experienced it, and you aren't going to surprise God with needing help. And so, here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So you're weak. Your struggle has been going on, and you're tired, and you feel like you're about ready to give in and give up. Look at verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Renew their strength. By the renewing of your mind, you get a right spirit renewed, you get your strength renewed, and then one last reference is in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, and we look at verse 10. Colossians 3 and verse 10, where the Apostle Paul says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. I said earlier about we get saved, we get born again, but we still have that old nature that causes us to sin. And if we yield to that old nature, that's just what we're going to do, sin. But if we yield to the new man that God has given us when we got saved, his spirit came to live within, and he gave us a new spirit called a new man, a new nature. And he tells us here that if we have put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we have been now made possible to live like Jesus Christ. We can live like Jesus Christ. Bible study is fabulous. But it is for a purpose. And that's to affect our living, to change us. Not just to fill our minds academically. Not just to build our pride about knowing so much and being able to quote Bible verses. To change our life. James chapter 1 talks about this after the book of Hebrews is the book of James. James chapter 1 verse 22. as James talks about real faith and imitation faith. He says in James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Why would you lie to yourself? Why would you deceive yourself? By hearing the word of God and then rationalizing in your mind why that's not good for you. Or why it is that you can live somehow different. No, what we need to do is reason in our mind why we ought to do this. If we spend as much time coming up with reasons why we ought to do what the Word says, we'd be so far ahead than if we take the time to come up with excuses to why we shouldn't do it that way. But be ye doers of the Word. Doers means performers. I mean, do means, you know, in the Greek, what do means? It means do. Okay? I mean, we do it. It's just simple. This takes no rocket scientist. But be ye doers of the word. And he makes it real clear what he means. Not just hearers. He says not hearers only. You mean God expects when this service is over and you go out these doors, that God expects you to do whatever it is He spoke to your heart? And He speaks to individual hearts because you have individual lives. One of the problems with taking an illustration is, you know, it may not fit to everybody who's listening. But God's able to take the word and fit it to your heart. And so He tells us there we're to be doers. And we read on here, it says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer," now he's going to describe the person who hears but doesn't live it. "He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass," we'd say a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself," sees himself, "and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." So you look in the mirror, you see yourself, and you see you've got a smudge on your face, but you turn and you go away, and you soon, quickly forget. This happens to me. I get up in the morning. I like a close shave when I'm going to go out. So I get up in the morning. I'm going away in the afternoon. I'll wait and shave before I go. I looked in the morning. I saw I needed to shave. And then it comes time. I jump in the car and go. Oh, I forgot. I looked in the mirror and saw I needed to shave, but I forgot. I started getting a battery-operated shaver so I could at least take it along. But if I forgot, it's at home. I looked in the glass and I forgot. God's telling you things in services like this about yourself, about your life, about your relationship with Him. He's getting your attention and you're thinking to yourself, yes, God, I see, I understand. But then you leave out the doors and just forget about it.
That's right.
Whether it's purposely out of neglect or just forgetting. He tells us very clearly, it's different, verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," you look into the Word of God. And if you continue therein, "he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Have you ever wondered, maybe a little enviously or covetously, why it is that some people you know, why they seem to have a different life, maybe you'd say a better life than yourself? Might it be because they are a doer of the work? They do what they've heard. So the work of their living is the way God wants. One of the proofs to yourself of your salvation is your living. Now you can tell me you're saved, but how's your living? Does it line up with the Word of God? Or is it one thing here in the church house, and when you're around the church families, than it is when you're out there, either in your own house or maybe out of your own house where you work? Pride creeps in with mere hearing. But we are told if we continue in the Word, we abide. There was a noted Bible teacher of decades past named E. Schuller English. And this Bible teacher told the story of a Michael Bilister. Michael Bilister was a Bible distributor. His whole ministry was doing just that, distributing Bibles. He was from England, and he had visited a small town in Poland shortly before World War II. It would have been about 1938. And he gave a Bible to a man, witnessed to him, gave him a Bible. That man read the Bible, got saved through what he was reading. And then he passed that Bible on to another person. And that person read scriptures and got saved. So they passed the Bible on, since it was given to them. They took it and they gave it to another person. And at the end, 200 people got saved from one Bible. When Bilister returned to Poland in 1940, this group of Christians met together for a worship service, which was, he was going to preach the scriptures. And he usually asked for testimonies, but this time he suggested that maybe several of the people would recite verses of scripture. And one man stood and said, perhaps we have misunderstood you. Did you mean verses or chapters? Because these villagers had not memorized a few select verses, but the Bible chapters. For example, there were 13 people who had memorized Matthew, Luke, and half of Genesis. Another person committed the entire book of Psalms to memory. And that single copy of the Bible given by Bilister had done its work. It transformed the lives of the people who read it. Why? Because they were doers, not only hearers of the Word. No wonder the psalmist said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Challenge God gives us is to take the Word that we hear, have heard, and live it, difficult as it may be, to ask God to do what David did, create in me a clean heart. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful for the goodness of your Word and the truth of the Scriptures. We are thankful, Father, for the opportunities that you give us. We are blessed. Lord, 200 people shared one Bible. Any one of us probably have several copies of the Scripture. They loved your Word so much that from that one, many people memorized the truth. God, work in our hearts and our lives. We want to be like Jesus Christ. And we ask that you would indeed enable us to be like Christ. Work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing in closing page 324, the psalm, "Thy Word Have I Hid in My Heart." If you'll take take your hymnal out, turn to page 324. We'll sing this as our closing song. Allow it to be an invitation to your heart to make a new commitment, if necessary, to the Lord in the living of the Scriptures you have learned. Page 324. Let's stand, please, to sing the closing song.